Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege and an honor to be invited to speak to such a wonderful group of Christians. It's a little bit intimidating. I suppose I'm a little bit rusty. I used to stand in the pulpit more often in the past than in the last couple of years. But we'll see what can be done this morning. And hopefully those things I have prepared are first according to the will of God, and I'm able to still express them in a way that you can understand them and that you can bring them into your mind and into your heart and help you as you live your life each day in this world. 2,000 years ago, people were concerned about the truth. It's no different today. With big tech, with politics in high gear on both sides, truth is a rare commodity at times. And sometimes it's hard to determine what is the truth. A knowledge of the truth is what we want to have in any endeavor that we might pursue, whether it be of science, politics, but of course, how important that is when it comes to the serving of our God, the God that created all of mankind. As was read in the scripture reading in John chapter 8, at this time Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then there was a discussion. Ultimately, Jesus claimed unto them that he was the Son of God. They said, "Who are you to be telling us what is truth?" And as you read through John chapter 8, near the end, he says, "I am." That's who I am. I am God. And they were having this trouble understanding that. Why are we so sure that we know the truth, someone might say? We could be wrong, and that's true. Good, sincere brethren disagree sometimes on spiritual concepts. We know that's true. However, how do we know that we are right? Somebody says you're too simplistic. We cannot all know the truth. This attitude of saying we cannot know the truth is a problem. These statements cast doubt on our ability to correctly know the truth of God and our ability to teach truth without doubt, ambiguity, or uncertainty. When we give up the proposition that we cannot attain a knowledge of the truth, that we cannot know the counsel of God, then we have undermined our faith in Christ and His gospel, the faith that we need to recognize that the gospel can save us. In Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And in Acts 20 and verse 27, we are told, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And so in New Testament days, they had a knowledge of the truth. They knew the whole counsel of God. The apostles, you see, received from Christ the truth. What we know about Jesus and his teachings, notice, in Matthew 22:16, "And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art truth, and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of man." We know Jesus is true. In John 7:18, John records the speaking of Jesus Christ, and he says, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." We know that Jesus taught or teaches the way of God in truth. Notice in John 12:49, Jesus declares unto his disciples and unto all of us, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak, and I know that this commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So what Jesus is saying is that he did not present his own will, but he came to present the will of the Father who is in heaven. And then, in John 14, Jesus makes this very simple statement. And in verse 6, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me." We know also that Jesus taught without partiality. That was recognized by his audiences whenever he would speak. In Luke 20:21, Jesus, and they ask him, saying, "Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly." We also know that Jesus gave his teaching to his apostles. In John 16, before he was leaving this earth, he was promising that he would send the Holy Spirit unto them. John 16:12-15 says, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." And so we know that Jesus gave his teaching to his apostles, and he sent the Holy Spirit to guide them into all the truth. That's great news. That's very comforting, as we will see in this day and age. So, as we heard read at the beginning of our service today in John 8:31-32, Jesus simply says, "If ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." And so we today have the ability to continue in the word, because the word has been written down for us. All that we have to do, as we're going to see in a few moments, is be able to read what has been written for us and then to obey it in our own lives. "If you continue in my words, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth shall make you free." And this is really great news to all of mankind. In fact, it's called the gospel, which is the good news. The good news that God has sent his Son into this world. And you know, in Luke 24:45, the apostles, after the death of Christ, were perplexed. They were not sure what was really going on because here their master had been put to death. And in Luke, the 24th chapter, and in verse 45, a very short scripture, but a very telling scripture, because this scripture says that then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So the point is this: God sent his truth into the world, and God wants us to understand what he has communicated to us. It is the will of God that we have a knowledge of the truth. But it's up to us to love the truth and to pursue it with all of our heart. The scriptures teach that we can be established in the present truth. It is possible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 12, Peter writes, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the present truth." Over 2,000 years ago, disciples were established in the present truth. And so it is possible for us also today to know the truth of God and to have a knowledge of God's revealed will for mankind. Like Paul, we today can also be teachers in faith and truth. Notice what he said in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 7. "Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." So the apostles who were guided into all the truth were able to teach it. Peter said, as we just said, saw in the previous point, that they were established in the present truth. Well, how does this come about? How can we understand? Well, we can understand according to what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Paul writes unto them, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." You won't understand unless you search out. Jesus says, "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened." Paul says, "Read and you can understand." You can have a knowledge of the mystery that Paul understood by the revelation through the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is realize that God has provided and communicated unto us his will. We can know the truth just like the early saints did. Notice what John wrote in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 21. John writes, "I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Think about that. John says, "I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth." They knew the truth. He was writing to them to remind them to stick with the truth that they had learned of God, to not be persuaded by any of the doctrines of that day that were contrary to the will of God. We can see, according to the writings of John, he makes the point in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, and we won't read all of that, but he says, that the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. Wrong verse. 1 John 3, 18 and 19, he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So it's by our life, how we treat each other, that we can see whether or not we are of the truth of God, according to John. And so let's just go down a list now of some of the things that are possible for us in the spiritual realm by a knowledge of the truth. And because time is moving on, I won't try to read all of these verses. They'll be made available later if you want a copy of this outline. We know God and we come to God by a knowledge of the truth. And this is revealed unto us in scriptures like John 1 and verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So we know from the scriptures things about God, and we come to God by learning the truth of God. We are given a very competent testimony by the scriptures and called by God to have faith in Jesus. The Son of God frees us from sin, John 8:31 through 32 and in verse 36. They did not understand that Jesus was talking about sin. They said in John 8, we've never been under bondage. We're of Abraham's seed, but Jesus was talking about sin itself, and that He, as the Son of God, could provide the way for mankind to have the forgiveness of his sins. We are brought to God's salvation by a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 through 4. We are identified as Christians and separated from sin. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. We know how to behave ourselves in the church, according to the writings of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, where he says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that we are to behave that. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so it is by knowledge of the truth that we know how things are to be done within the Lord's church even today. We receive God's blessings with thanksgiving through a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 3. Then in 2 Timothy 2 and verses 24 through 26, we are corrected and brought to repentance, thus escaping the snare of the devil, as he writes to the preacher Timothy. We have fellowship with God Himself through a knowledge of the truth. 1 John chapter 2, 3 and 5, and we'll read a little bit of this verse where it says, and hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. His commandments are revealed where? In a knowledge of the truth. That's how we know that we know God, according to John. He says, I know Him. He that says, I know God, or know Him, and keeps not His commandments, is a liar. The truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. The Word of God is described as abiding in the Christian. How does this occur? By a knowledge of the truth, according to John in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 12 through 14. And I won't try to quote or read all of those verses, but essentially says, I've written to children and fathers and parents, our parents and teachers. But notice in verse 14, he says, as he concludes this statement, I have written unto you because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So the Christian is described as a person who knows the truth and has God's word abiding in him. and we should be that way today also. James 1 and verse 21, the writer says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." We even test the spirits by knowledge of the truth. If we don't have a knowledge of the truth, then when we hear something that really doesn't line up with what we know God has revealed to us, we have a problem. If we don't know the truth, we won't recognize when error is being taught, is essentially what the scriptures are teaching us. "Beloved, believe not every spirit," John says, "but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so we see, if we are saying that we cannot be certain of God's truth, if we say that, we, number one, would be indicting the power of God to communicate His will. And this is not new with mankind. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. Here it is written, "For this commandment, which I commanded thee this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It's not up in heaven that you should say, 'Who shall go up unto heaven and bring it down unto us, that we may hear it and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, 'Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it." So the children of Israel, they had the commandments of God set from God through Moses, and they were commanded to study that word each day of their lives, to have it abiding in them. Then Paul, in his writings to the Romans, goes back to this same point in time from Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Romans 10, verse 6 through 8, Paul writes to them at Rome, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh in this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach." What is Paul saying? He says, you have a knowledge of the truth. Christ came down from heaven and brought it to us. That is what Christ taught throughout the time he was here upon this earth, that no one can approach the Father except through him. So to say that we cannot be certain of God's truth would be indicting the power of God's ability to communicate his will. According to what is said in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, as well as the New Testament in Romans chapter 10, it's to deny the power of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, 7, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, turn away." He says these people are ever learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That was the truth of God years ago in the beginning of the church, and it's still true today. Also, if you deny that we can understand the truth, it's to imply that Bible study is ultimately futile. There's no need in Bible study at all if you really don't know the truth. And what are we told to do? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It would also imply that we cannot know whether we've gone beyond the doctrine of Christ, where we are told in 2 John 1 and verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. And of course, he wrote to the Galatian brethren telling them, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that you have heard or that we have preached, let him be accursed. And finally, it would make contending for the faith impotent and useless and self-serving. In Jude 3, we are told, beloved, when I gave diligence to write unto you that you should contend to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write and exhort that you earnestly contend for the faith. So without a knowledge of the truth, it would be impossible to do these things. And finally, giving an answer, as we're told to do. Be sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer. You wouldn't be able to do this without a knowledge of the truth of God. So what can we conclude from looking at these scriptures this morning? If you take just one thing away from the lesson this morning, this is the number one thing I'm trying to get across. What a great blessing we have from God in that we know the truth. In Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, I believe, 175 verses, over and over and over again, the psalmist describes the word of God and how precious it is unto us. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What a great blessing that is. And so, as we conclude this lesson, let's be careful and not be agreeing with those or accepting the uncertain sounds that are around us many times of unbelief, which undermine the faith and the truth and the understanding of God's holy word. One verse that I think really sums up the lesson this morning is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, where John writes and he says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. In much of 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, as John writes unto the Christians of that day, he says, I'm not writing to you because you don't know the truth, but I'm writing unto you that you may know this, that you may know this spiritual truth, that you might know this spiritual truth. And here he's concluding a very important point, that Jesus Christ came into this world and has given us an understanding of what this life is all about, what this world is all about. The Creator of this world came into this world and sacrificed himself that we might have the hope of eternal life. Psalms 119 and 104 also says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And finally, in Psalms 119 and verse 30, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And so if you've been thinking, maybe in your past life or during other times in your life, can I really know what God wants me to do? Yes, you can. You can have a knowledge of the truth because Jesus has come to give us understanding. That was the purpose of Him coming, besides His sacrifice for us, is to give us knowledge of what God would have man to do while here upon this earth. As we've seen in this lesson, one of the things that we teach from Mark the 16th chapter, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Have you done that? Have you believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Have you recognized that as He is described in the book of Revelation, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Creator of all things, our God has provided His only Son that we might have the forgiveness of our sins. If we can help you in any way, even this morning, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.